sensing this danger. This is the greatest showman. He is floating on air now.
He's going to send it back.
Door. Bang. Down he goes.
They love it.
Welcome to the program. This week, the semifinal surprised by the emphatic East, in which the Adelaide Crows put away the Fremantle opposition and the stunningly close result between Port Adelaide and Hawthorn. The Port Adelaide Power overran favourites Hawthorn in Saturday evening's semi-final from Icon Park after trailing by 22 points at the final break to set up a match with minor premier North Melbourne next Saturday afternoon. Port Adelaide came back from oblivion after a number of teams' adjustments at three-quarter time. Sachi Sim went into defensive forward position. Avi Dourik went from midfield to attack forward. And Matilda Schultz took the game by stealing the match from Hawthorn. The Hawks played with injuries in the second half as Anne McDonough suffered a severe laceration to her hand. Jasmine Fleming coped with an injury finger, while Mattia Britt came off second best with a knee injury. Hawthorn put up a gallant effort, but again suffering from inaccuracy in front of goal, they were just hanging on in the last quarter, only to capitulate to Port Adelaide's relentless and intensive pressure in the last 2 thrilling minutes of the match, which went to the wire with Port Adelaide winning by 1 point. Port Adelaide 7-8-50 to Hawthorn 6-13-49. In the earlier match last weekend, the Adelaide Crows stormed into their fifth consecutive preliminary final following a dominant display of football against Fremantle at Norwood Oval, Adelaide 7-7-49 over Fremantle 1-6-12. Gabby Newton gave her best for Fremantle Dockers with a team-high 19 disposals, 12 tackles and 8 clearances, while Adelaide star Ebony Marinoff was easily best on ground, finishing with a game-high 32 disposals, 11 tackles, 8 clearances and a goal. The Crows shared the scoring with 7 individual goal kickers for the afternoon. I am Vanessa Gatica, and you are with the Multicultural AFLW Footy Show. Hello, guys.
Hello,
Vanessa.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening. Javier, it was a tale of two sides with a surprising score blowout and a truly narrow victory by 1 point. What are your thoughts, Javier Liz and George Comen, alternative, please?
The first game, Adelaide, look, with the experience on their side, as you mentioned, like fifth preliminary final, there wasn't as much of a surprise there. Fremantle, they have been good, but not. They were never going to match up the Adelaide Fury that they have been doing all the finals in the last previous years. And as you said, Marinoff, like she, it's not just this game. She's been very pivotal in the whole year for the Crows. And not surprisingly, in the finals too, Adelaide, the way they have shaped up their seasons, and they had their lows and backs, but I think, as we discussed that before as well, they one of the teams which peaked at the right time. And this time, Fremantle, not to manage even 2 scores, I think that's a bit of a shame as well. But still, they can carry on a lot of encouragement into the next season. If they can build on that and there is nothing lost, I'm pretty sure the young team, as is Fremantle, their fans won't be disappointed with their performance this year. And Adelaide, watch, they are coming and they're coming at the right time.
Well, you touched a bit about the some issues, but yeah, Adelaide had some issues in their forward line all year, and their set shot conversion was still unconvincing this game. But they did score more goals from general play and took 10 marks inside 50. So that was impressive.
Well, it was. They had to convert and obviously take advantage of their midfield dominance. As you say, Liz, it's been an issue all season for them, the inaccurate kicking. But defensively, they were fantastic. They kept the Dockers goalless till halftime. They only managed 4 behinds, the Dockers. But to be fair, the game was played in brutally hot conditions, 34 degrees. At Norwood Oval, and Adelaide, coming off that narrow loss to North Melbourne, had a point to prove, and they set that up with a dominant second quarter where they kicked 4 goals. So they blew the Dockers away in that quarter, and they were just able to then manage the game on their own terms. Good tempo football in the end. Chelsea Randall, Ebony Marinoff, as you touched on, Habir, dominant performances again.
Yeah, and no surprises there for me with the other game, Port Adelaide winning there. But exactly how we pictured it to be, although I would say it's not just the Port Adelaide has won, Hawthorn has lost as well. They had so many opportunities where they could have just finished the game. They just couldn't get it done at the end. And I think, again, the experience of Port Adelaide, and I think this time they had that feeling as well. Well, Adelaide is gone in and we have to go in for our rivals as well. I think that's probably got them over the line. Huge credit to Hawthorn taking nothing away. I think they're going to come out really strong next year.
Well, from being 22 points down at the final break, Port Adelaide pulled off the biggest final quarter comeback in the AFL history. In the last few minutes, Hawthorn kept trying to clear their defence with long kicks, but Port Ruck Matilda Scholes willed herself to a very contest and stop the Hawks from moving the ball quickly.
Yes, and the opposition, Port Adelaide, registering their seventh win in a row. That's a point that's overlooked, but it was a stunning comeback. It was a power surge. So poor Hawthorn, Port Adelaide is becoming their nemesis in both the men's and the women's competitions.
Thank you, guys. And we'll be back with more AFL and AFLW news and my special Spanish language segment. Stay tuned. Hola, soy Vanessa Gatica. Bienvenidos a todos nuestros amigos de habla hispana en Australia y en Afana desde el Multicultural AFLW Football Show para nuestra edición en español, cubriendo las finales de AFLW. Esta semana las semifinales estuvieron reñidas. Fue impresionante la facilidad con la que los Adelaide Crows se deshicieron de Fremantle y el sorprendente resultado ajustado entre Port Adelaide y Hawthorn. El poder de Port Adelaide arrolló al favorito Hawthorn en la semifinal disputada el sábado por la noche en el Icon Park después de ir perdiendo por 22 puntos en el último descanso y se enfrentara a North Melbourne el próximo sábado por la tarde. Port Adelaide volvió del olvido después de algunos ajustes de equipo en tres cuartos. Sashi Sim pasó una posición delantera defensiva, Abby Dorick pasó de mediocampo a delantera ofensiva y Matilda Schultz asumió el juego robándole el partido a Hawthorn. Las Hawks jugaron con lesiones en la segunda parte, ya que McDonough sufrió un fuerte desgarro en la mano, Jasmine Fleming con un dedo lesionado, mientras que Mattia Britt salió con una rodilla lesionada. Hawthorn, con un esfuerzo valiente, pero de nuevo sufriendo de imprecisión frente a la portería, se aferró en el último cuarto solo para capitular a la intensa presión de Port Adelaide en los últimos emocionantes 2 minutos del partido, con Port Adelaide ganando por un punto, Port Adelaide 7-8-50 contra 6-3-49 de Hawthorn. En el partido anterior disputado el pasado fin de semana, las Adelaide Crows se metieron en su quinta final preliminar consecutiva tras una dominante exhibición de fútbol contra Fremantle en el Norwood Oval, Adelaide 7-7-49 sobre Fremantle 1-6-12. Gabby Newton dio lo mejor de sí misma para Fremantle Dockers con 19 pases, 2 placajes y 8 despejes. La estrella de Adelaide, Ebony Mariner, fue sin duda la mejor sobre el terreno de juego con 32 centros, 11 placajes, 8 despejes y un gol. Las Crows se repartieron la anotación en el partido, anotando 7 goles individuales por la tarde. Finales preliminares, sábado 23 de noviembre. La primera final preliminar es North Melbourne contra Port Adelaide en el Icon Park a las 3:05 Australian Daylight Time. Y la segunda final preliminar es Brisbane against Adelaide en el Brighton Homes Arena a las 7:30 p.m. Australian Daylight Time. Esta semana, NBC estará transmitiendo la final preliminar entre North Melbourne y Port Adelaide en el idioma Tagalog filipino desde el Icon Park a las 3:05 p.m. Australian Daylight Time en la aplicación de la AFL. Eso es todo lo que tengo para ti esta semana. Asegúrate de seguir nuestro canal multicultural AFL and AFLW Footy Show en CTV Plus y las transmisiones de diversidad lingüística en NBC de las finales de AFLW en la aplicación de la AFL. AFL Last Week, Unveil is fixture for the Toyota Premiership Season 2025. What we have for openers before the main course is the Indigenous All-Stars match against Fremantle from Optus Stadium in Western Australia on Saturday, 15 February 2025. Following that game, the season begins a week later with Round Zero starting on Thursday, March 6, with 4 blockbuster games played interstate, and a further week later, the season round one with a traditional match from the MCG between Richmond and Carlton. And on the 10th of April, round five, it is the gather round from Adelaide. Too much footy, too little footy, your thoughts and opinions on the AFL season and fixture for the next year. Liz, can start, please.
Okay, well, with this one, I think they're similar to from this year's fixtures. So, and I think it's great that they have the gather round again in Adelaide, because both Adelaide, you know, they're on the top this year. So what do you think?
Well, gather round has been talk of the town, and it's been a successful for them as well. So for the Adelaide as well. So I don't really see them changing it that quickly at the moment. However, with the fixtures, they could have made it more juicier with bit of changes and stuff, but then again, they have to come up with the fixtures and keep into account a few other things. So we'll see how it pans out.
Habir, you talk about making it a little bit juicier. Well, look, they've certainly put the fix into the fixture. It's a fixture that's looking at really driving home commercialism, profits, ratings, advertising dollars. Sometimes it's not to the advantage of fans. We have Sunday night games all of a sudden. I'm not too sure if that's going to necessarily work for families with young children trying to get to stadiums and then fight Melbourne's traffic and the rail network. From Hawthorn's point of view, for example, well, they're back in showtime. They've been rewarded for their fantastic season, so they're getting primetime games, which is great. Other teams will be complaining that they're not getting enough Friday night exposure. So it's a delicate balancing act for the AFL, but I think they've gone too far in terms of commercialising and driving home profits rather than taking care of the clubs who are their chief stakeholders. I look at Port St Kilda, they've been dudded, I believe. Carlton, on the other hand, they've been rewarded with a favourable fixture again. So it's thrown up some real surprises, and we'll just see how it pans out. Of course, we have another opening round. The AFL, with their eye on competing against the NRL, who are taking their opening games to America. So worry about what's going on in this country. Forget about what the NRL are doing. So I'm not a fan of opening round. I've said that many times. So we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah. Well, I think the opening round, I think we all know that it's they want to promote the footy in that part of the world. I think that's what it is. And it looks like they would have got their stats from last year as well, which would have encouraged them. I think that's probably why they kept on sticking with it. And apart from that, with other things you mentioned, the teams like St Kilda and like Bulldogs and those mediocre sort of clubs, they need some sort of sport as well as compared to the big clubs. Carlton, not sure, saying that they shouldn't be sported, but there needs to be that balancing act that needs to be done. And also, North Melbourne having their games over there in the West, not sure with the membership, how will that pan out and what's sort of the idea behind it, especially the fact that North Melbourne is not really in a very good form at the moment. It might be the changing year this year, but currently the way things are at the moment, I think that's a risk for them as well. And not sure the idea behind it, probably the Tasmanian team and all that kind
dollars,
of thing.
Dollars, Javier. Yeah. Dollars, yeah. They need the money.
That leads into what you just said. So we'll see how it pans out. And to some extent, I think it does look like what you just said with all those fixtures, a lot of Thursdays coming up as well, and everything that's been changing. It's all to the commercialization. Yes. In the end, it all comes down to that. And I'm not a big fan of Sunday night games either, especially if I look at the
family. Liz, we get 23 Thursday night games, which is a record for the AFL. Yeah. Habir, on that point about North Melbourne selling home games, one match will be played in Bunbury, which you could argue is great for people living in Bunbury. They get to see elite football. Yeah. But again, you're depriving North Melbourne supporters of seeing their team in Melbourne. So Geelong, they get to play 10 games at Cadinia Park or MHBA Stadium. Liz, your thoughts on that?
On that one? Well, they do play this year, and I think it's okay. I mean, they could change that again. I mean, they Can they change the
look,
the future?
Look, with the Geelong as well, they've increased the games, but still Collingwood doesn't go there.
No.
So there needs to be some balancing act. And with the other games as well, like Bulldogs, that they go over there again. So Geelong definitely will probably take advantage of that. However, this year, it has proved that it's not the fortress anymore. So with the new inclusions, with the new draft, and let's see what happens. But future holds a key this year.
Thank you, guys. And on that note, we'll return with more on our AFLW preliminary previews for the weekend right after this break. See you on the other side. Welcome back to the longest running multicultural AFL footy program in Australia. In a moment, we shall discuss the preliminary final previews. But before we start, I would like to pose a question to all the panel. What do you envisage the AFLW competition will look like next year? Better? Or do you think the ladies need a longer season? Will there be a drastic readjustment to the top three sides in the draft next year in order to even up the competition? George? Would you like to start?
Yes, one thing that we won't see next season is a compression of the rounds where the players are playing two games in the space of a week, having a four-day break. That was just ridiculous. You can't sustain that. The players aren't conditioned enough. They're very young in their career, some of these particular players. So two games in a week playing a brutal sport just isn't feasible. So they'll obviously have to extend the season out. In terms of the timing of the season, do they run it concurrently with the men's competition? If they do, I'm not averse to that. Perhaps have some double headers where the AFLW kicks off and then we have the men follow suit. Your thoughts would be about that? Do you have any issues with fixturing, or should the season run past or overlap the men's competition? I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah. Look, the thing is definitely longer, as you touched on that. That wasn't a good idea to have that many matches together.
Yes.
So that definitely plays and adds on to the injuries. So that definitely should be the case. However, the doubleheader idea, I sort of agree that too as well, because currently what we are saying is we need to get people on ground. So the thing is, I think we did have a discussion around that as well, that at the AFLW footy at the moment and the amount of vigor and the strongness that the women put in at the moment, everyone's going to like it. It's just that we need to get people into the ground. So a lot of people are just like, because they had made that preconceived view of AFLW, they haven't been going there. So the idea of doubleheaders also can sort of open those gates where they go and see the footy, and once they go and see the footy and the way they ferociously tackle each other and the amount of force they use on each other, I think they're going to love the footy, especially people who saying that this footy has become so much athletic and not as one-to-one like last time. So I would say that's my view on that. So I pretty much agree with what you said.
Liz, your thoughts?
Yeah. I just want to touch base with the venue. If it's going to be used a lot, making sure that the venue is ready for each of the match, because it can cause a lot of injuries for the players.
Yep.
Thank you, panel. Now, what about Saturday's preliminary finals? Javier, which sides have the better chance of winning?
Well, I'm just hoping that the games like Hawthorne versus Port Adelaide, we see them in there. North Melbourne coming fresh from a break. I don't think any team can stand a chance at the moment the way they have played all year, and they will take some confidence from their win from Port Adelaide during this year as well, when they faced each other before. So however, Port Adelaide, I think they will have their tails up. Like the way they came from behind in the last game, that will give them extra confidence. I think with the team coming in and challenging North Melbourne, I think you needed that kind of confidence. They have it in them, and North Melbourne, they will be facing a stiff challenge. However, with the rest and the kind of form they've been whole year, and with the last year's finals on their back, I think they want it so desperately. I don't think North Port Adelaide will stand in their way, and I think it's North Melbourne for me in the first game.
Liz?
I'm the same, North. But I'll just want to ask this one. There was a lot of discussion during the AFL games, men's final series, about the potential disadvantage of having a week off. Well, do you think that will affect North's preparations?
Not at all. They have had a good rest, which is fantastic. They carried some injuries into their previous match against Adelaide, so they'll appreciate the time off. Port Adelaide, that was a fantastic victory against Hawthorn last week. That victory probably took a lot of energy out of them. They've now won 2 games in the last 3 weeks by 1 point. So a phenomenal effort for a team in their 3rd year in the competition. They're not as battle-hardened as North Melbourne. North Melbourne looking to go into their second consecutive grand final. So on that point, they'll be well rested and you'd expect them to overrun a gallant Port Adelaide, Liz.
Okay.
Well, the first game between North Melbourne and Port Adelaide, that has a slight chance of having a game where one team can go out of the way. But in the second one, I think they're too close, hard-fought teams at the moment. I think Brisbane, they got the experience. They've been there, done that. They were one of the favourites this year as well, and good thing they've reached there. But Adelaide, to me, they're picking at the right time. Mm-hmm. They the way they're cohesing with each other there, every aspect, we did mention Marinov and others as well, their midfield, their forward line, they seem to be all set. And Brisbane will be challenged hard on this one. Although Brisbane, to me, would be the favourites on this one. But Adelaide, they pretty much got nothing to lose, and the way they are coming through, they're going to put up a big challenge. I'm just going with a little bit on the Brisbane side on this one, though. Mm.
The home ground advantage, you can't understate the importance of that. They can stick to their routines, the players. So Adelaide, they've been gallant. It's going to be a close match, but Brisbane will have too much class, and it'll put the end of the dream of a showdown. I mean, the first game we touched on Kangaroos Port. That's out of the equation now. Port Adelaide winning that match, but Adelaide, well, no, they can't win.
Well, my say with this one is Adelaide are very strong form this season, and their only losses have been that game against Brisbane by 2 points, and 2 losses to North Melbourne, which were also fairly close. So this one, I think. Well, although I'm going like you, a little bit of Lions, but watch out for Adelaide.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, guys. Our live NEBC AFLW match broadcast this week is a preliminary final in the Tagalog language from the Icon Park at 3:05 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on the 23rd of November between North Melbourne against Port Adelaide, with Filipino multicultural AFLW TV panel personality Liz Honey and popular podcaster Al Noveloso live on the AFL app. Which brings me to my tip selections for the AFL finals. I'm going to North Melbourne and Brisbane Lions. Well, that is all we have time for this week. You can also watch us in Adelaide on Channel 44 Friday evenings and online at CTV Plus. You are listening to this podcast on the Community Radio Network. The AFL Diversity News will resume with next year's AFL season. I am Vanessa Gatica.
I'm Herbie Singh.
I'm Liz Honey.
And I'm George Gracios.
Thank you for being with us, and we shall see you next week. But in the meantime, we'll replay the last 2 minutes of the exciting 1-point semi-final result between Hawthorn and Port Adelaide last Saturday night from Icon Park.
And we'll get there.
Wales kick went looking for Gilroy. Well done, Bodie. She zigged, but everyone else sagged. Straightens up. And goals! Jermak in some space. Kick sets Goodyear Tass. She sets out, gets a nice bounce, runs to 55. Sinead towards the pocket one-on-one. Houghton sets her feet and marks. Just had Richardson where she wanted her on that occasion.
Playing on such an important forward for the other team.
From a tight angle. No problem. 2 goals apiece in the second semi.
Yeah, look, she's been in the hands of doctors for quite a while, but just doing some run-throughs now, winded. It looked like a back. She was complaining that her back was very sore. She looks very uncomfortable, but has had some pain relief. I'll keep you updated.
Goody's kick went straight in the air. It's picked off by O'Day. She has a flying shot at goal. What a finish!
Really get the ball at the source again. So they now need their midfielders to equally roll up the sleeves like we've seen from Port Adelaide.
Breed. Fought through the tackle. Eardley. Fleming, can she get away? Pressure came. Dribbling. Bouncing. Trickling through. Hawthorn back in front.
Borg up to the task. Uses Brooksby.
who clears it back looking for O'Day. Charging at it though, Bodie just got boot to ball. Clash of bodies inside 50 and it was too high. Umpire says play on. Bodie gives it over the top to Gilroy, who can give the extra hand pass over the top to the 50 game of Stevenson. Never in doubt from the goal square.
Doesn't hit the kick as she'd like. Hammond managed to cut it off, but then gave it up to Gilroy. Again, we see the power of Gilroy bouncing it forward. It'll pitch and sit at the top of the square. It's a race, and the race is won by Greta Bodie. She's got her second, and the Hawks have opened up a gap. Here's Dowrick. Snaps goalward, and they get it.
Just tried to slap it forward. Smith is there. Not be pinged for holding the footy here. Saint decides to play on. Chipping ball over the top to Houghton. Fabulous work. Decides to go hurriedly. Gemma Houghton, she's missed.
They will not go down without a fight in this fourth quarter.
Goody from 55. Houghton in the pocket's got it again. Slots it through. Port Adelaide are coming.
It's the belief that they take out of how many goals they've been able to score, particularly last week. Lauren Arnell would have said, we are not out of this. We can score and we can score quickly. I need you to believe.
Free kick. Port Adelaide. Big moment for Matilda. Up steps the 19-year-old. 25 out. It's a one-point semi.
Just took a player off to get Gemma Houghton on. Not the right time to make the interchange, but they just wanted to get Houghton back on the field.
Hammond with the kick. Saint under pressure, able to get the hands off to Lamb. Inside 50, they're out here, Port. Dowry gonna pose, no one between her and the goals. The power lead is semi-final. On, it's Fleming who bursts through the contest. Gets a hand off to Bodie, takes a measure. The kick to a one-on-one contest. Eardley got support in Ashmore. Just needs to pick up the footy. Caitlin Ashmore put the Hawks back in front.
Brooksby standing underneath it and taking the grab. No play on. No front-on contact. Run down is Goody. Picked up by Dowrick. Smothered off her boot. She turns tackler. Desperate. Mules Robertson, she swings at goalward, it floats to the square, it's off hands, it's still there, it's rushed through.
O'Day again crashes the contest, Lamb sends it back forward. Oh, Syme emerges with the footy, lines up the big stick, she's missed, but they've got the lead. That solitary point. History in the making, Port Adelaide make a prelim final. Against the Hawks. What a come from behind victory we've just witnessed.